The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Hey, how you doing? 1206, coming to you from the Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. My thanks to you, my listeners. You've been just absolutely awesome. I got a lot of news to talk about. We're 1 week away from Election Day. I got a lot of stuff that's going on in the news here locally. But I have a couple of things that I want to say as we get back in the chair here. So let me begin with that here in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Whew. Anything new the last 2.5 weeks? I will tell you, these have been a really challenging couple of weeks for a lot of us. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know that I've been away from the air for almost 3 weeks now at the request of Bonneville, Seattle, Cairo Radio, and started after the gubernatorial debate between Jay Inslee and Lauren Culp. I was on Twitter. I wrote a comment about what I saw as a disconnect between what Jay Inslee calls science after the way Washington State allows a person to change the sex on their birth certificate decades after they were born. Well, my tweet did not hit the mark. Instead, it was painful for some of our listeners and for a whole bunch of people in the Twitter sphere. And for that, as I said, the day after that tweet, I apologize. On that Thursday, almost 3 weeks ago, I said, I'm sorry, that's not where I was going. That's not what my intent was on that. Hours before that show, I shared a more personal apology by phone with a couple I know, a couple who were angry at me because they have a transgender adult child. Even with my apology that day, criticism of my tweet started pouring in. They said I was making fun of transgender people, which, honest to goodness, didn't even cross my mind then. But people called me transphobic. The Seattle Times called me transphobic. Websites called me transphobic. The truth is, I couldn't care less. And I've said this a million times on my show. I couldn't care less if an adult wants to adopt a different gender, change their gender. At the time, I was commenting on our governor and changing official state documents. But nonetheless, it is clear that my tweet caused some people quite a bit of pain. So I want to repeat what I said on October 8th to those who might not have heard it then. I'm sorry. If you directly or indirectly were harmed, our station has taken a lot of heat for that tweet. And I feel awful about that, too. My producer, Nicole, tough as can be, but I apologize to her and thank her for standing strong. The person here at Cairo who answers our phones, Donna, she had nothing to do with the tweet, but her phones have been flooded. And I apologize to her, too. There are a lot of people who have been touched by this. And since October 9th, I will tell you, advertisers on this show and our station, they have felt the pain. And I accept responsibility for that, too. Not only do I value and respect the relationships that I have with my advertisers, I cherish it. And your commitment has been an incredible strength. Honest to goodness, besides my family and my faith, I get up every morning with you and our listeners in mind, my sponsors and my listeners. I will never give you less than 100% of myself. And so all of us, Bonneville, Cairo, me, you, the listeners, we're going through our own storms right now. Some of these are storm after storm after storm. As a Christian, I will continue to pray that each of us, each and every one of us, comes out of this year stronger. As a Christian, I pray for forgiveness if my words caused you pain. And on top of that, I'm praying that each of us uses diversity of thought to get to a greater strength. Honesty and diversity of thought, that's part of what makes Bonneville and Cairo such an incredible place for listeners and hosts like me. Bonneville has worked to handle this carefully and to make sure that everyone was treated fairly. And I'm grateful that I'm back on the air. Meanwhile, I will also pray that my words today create some healing for us all. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
Let's get back to talking about the news now. And by the way, a little later today, again, our listeners have been just phenomenal. And I'll talk to you later. I mean, I'm talking to you all day today. But I do want to get to, and I told you so, because back a few weeks ago, and for months leading up to that, I was talking about this effort to legalize crime in Seattle. And a lot of people accused me of hyperbole, that there's no way they want more crime in this region. But they do. And now we have absolutely remarkable legislation that has been proposed that proves what I've been telling you about the effort to get more crime in this entire region. Lisa Herbold, Seattle City Councilwoman, she has introduced legislation that would eliminate almost all misdemeanor crimes in Seattle, other than DUI and domestic violence. But every other misdemeanor could be dismissed as long as the criminal is either a drug addict or homeless. If they can show that they have any symptoms of addiction, they don't have to prove it. They don't have to have a medical diagnosis. But if they can just say, oh, I'm an addict, they can rob homes, they can rob businesses. And if they say, I'm an addict, there would not be the ability to file misdemeanor crime charges against them. If they are poor, so homeless people, as long as their crime meets an immediate and basic need, according to this legislation, then they could not be charged and prosecuted for that crime. So if they walk into a store, they can steal merchandise, and if they say, oh, I was going to sell this so I could eat tonight, no crime charges. They could walk into anybody's house at dinner time, and if they walk in and they push you aside from your dinner table and steal your food, they could not be charged with a crime in Seattle. And I know that what I'm saying sounds impossible because it is so crazy. But that is what Lisa Herbold and this incredibly radical Seattle City Council is proposing here. Channel 4, ComoNews.com, they talked with Scott Lindsay, who said this would be unheard of to implement a rule like this.
I am not aware of any legislation like this anywhere in the United States, even globally. All cities have criminal codes to protect their citizens from criminal acts. This would basically create a legal loophole that swallowed all those codes and said, green light to crime.
Green light to crime. And as he said, I don't believe there are laws like this anywhere in the world. We would be the most radical city on the planet.
If you don't feel very protected right now, this would wipe out almost all remaining protections that we have.
And what it will do is it will literally allow people who are drug addicts, homeless, poor, you can walk into stores, you can shoplift with impunity, you can just take other people's stuff, you can walk into homes and steal with impunity, break into cars, just tell them that you're poor, and who cares if you're going to sell what you steal for 10 cents on the dollar? But this is the future that the radical Seattle City Council envisions for our city and our region.
This would absolutely open the floodgates to crime in Seattle, even worse than we often currently struggle with. It's a basically blank check to anybody committing theft, assault, harassment, trespass to continue without disruption from our criminal justice system.
Can you believe this? Can you believe where we have gotten as a region? We've been predicting this. We've been telling you that this is the ultimate goal, to bring in as many criminals, as many drug addicts from around the country. And again, can you imagine the flooding of our region with homeless drug addicts from around the country if the word gets out that in Seattle you can walk into any business and take their stuff with impunity as long as you're a drug addict or poor person? Can you believe that, I mean, and of this I'm certain, we will become a magnet destination all across the country. We're going to have homeless drug addicts come to Seattle because they know they can steal with impunity. Here is the proposal read during the city council meeting. Again, all this from ComoNews.com.
This proposal is sponsored by Councilmember Herbold. It is to consider passage of legislation that would allow the dismissal of crimes of poverty. And it would do so by revising the definition of duress as a defense against prosecution.
So specifically, if you are poor, if you're homeless, if you're a drug addict, you could say that everything you do is because of duress of your situation. And so we will become the magnet destination from around the country for drug addicts and homeless people. And I don't know what's going to happen to the business community in Seattle if criminals can just walk in and take stuff and know the charges will not be filed. The police won't even respond. If that's the case, I don't know how businesses will operate in Seattle, but I do know what's happening to the quality of life when you walk around the streets in our region. And that is up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Well, we are seeing it. Last week, I was going down Lake City Way. On about 125th and Lake City Way, there is a public park. Nobody could use that park other than homeless criminals because it has turned into one of the biggest bicycle chop shops in the city. Cops in my neighborhood have said if a bicycle's stolen, if they go down to this chop shop down on Lake City Way, they have a 90% chance that the bicycle will be there. And what we've seen is our parks have been completely taken over. We've spent a fortune in tax dollars for parks levies, and the parks now have become unusable. And what makes all of this even more tragic is the fact that during COVID, we have more and more people living in high-rise developments, apartments, condos. Seattle is also trying to get rid of single-family homes. They want to eliminate single-family homes because property ownership is a fundamental necessity of a free society. And if they can get fewer people invested in owning property, it's easier to get tax hikes from people in apartments, for example, because they don't get the property tax bill. Now, it's embedded in their monthly rent, but they don't get that, $5,000 bill every 6 months from King County. So it's easier to sneak through tax increases on apartment dwellers. And also, homes, single-family homes, like the neighborhood where I grew up in Ballard. But also, you look at all the beautiful single-family neighborhoods around our region. It encourages family, kids playing in the backyard. They want to get us to a European model where everybody lives in an apartment in a high-rise, and you have to go out into some communal common space just to be outside. Well, our communal common spaces now cannot be used. They put up signs a couple of weeks ago saying the parks are open, but there are heroin needles everywhere. The kids can't use the playgrounds. The soccer fields, there are tents on the soccer fields. And so the kids who would be out practicing with their team, they suddenly can't do any of this. Q13 News, they talked with Gabby Guarneri, who is just a local mom who says, it's just not safe.
I mean, it's crap everywhere. It's dangerous. It's not a safe environment.
And Laura Rasmussen talked to Cairo 7 News, and she says that, yes, our politicians have just taken the parks from the taxpayers and turn them over to criminals.
The city council and the mayor's office has made this unilateral decision to remove that green space from the citizens of Seattle.
Again, this is all by design, and the overflow is we're starting to see. You heard in the top of the hour news, our local news, that Bellevue's police chief was talking about the very organized, militia-like tactics of the rioters that hit Bellevue over the weekend. And that's what we're seeing. We are seeing this violence spreading throughout the region because that's what's being designed, is this kind of discord. We are 7 days away from Election Day. And we've got some people who really want to perpetuate the problem on the ticket, locally and nationally. Are the people sick of it yet? I guess we'll find out 7 days from now. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
A few weeks ago, we announced Project Take Back Our Schools. With kids at home learning, more and more parents are seeing a radical agenda from the teachers. Our colleague, Jason Rance, he has audio of a local teacher telling a local kid that he couldn't call the president his hero. You're going to hear the audio. We'll talk to Jason about it. That's coming up as we get rolling here. Back in the saddle again. The Dory Monson Show rolls on. Just heard a news story that a local school district that tried to send kids back, now they're sending them back home, and parents are getting a glimpse at the instruction, much of which is wonderful, much of which is incredibly biased. And so a few weeks ago, we announced Operation Take Back Our Schools. My friend Jason Rance, who you can hear every afternoon, 3 to 6 on KTTH, he's gotten a lot of examples of it. I've gotten lots of examples. Todd Herman's been compiling examples of it all. And Jason joins us with the latest that he has. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Jack Stein. I appreciate you taking on the lead that... What's so funny? Oh, my bad. Thanks, David Bowes. I appreciate you taking on the lead on this and Dory's absence.
No, they let me back.
I haven't heard your voice in so long. You would think that distinct voice would connect with me. My bad. Sorry.
I think so. I can understand your confusion, believe me. So you have this latest example out of Gig Harbor, a middle school kid. What was the project that was in this language arts class?
So the project is pretty simple. Tell us who your hero is and explain why. And part of the project was to teach students about how to source your argument and make your argument. This at Kopachuk Middle School.
Okay, and so this kid said that his hero is Donald Trump, and one reason is he said that he's fighting to keep undocumented immigrants out of the country. And boy, this teacher, Connor Seaman, it seemed to set him off. He told the kid, for he dismissed the rest of the class, and then he talked with this kid one-on-one.
If you or I were to break a crime, like say we're going into, rob a convenience store, we get like 1 to 3 years in jail or something like that. As opposed to if you're someone who is in the country illegally specifically, you would be deported. You would be jailed and then deported, kicked out of the country. Mm-hmm. So, there's not much incentive to break the law as much if that is your punishment. So a lot of immigrants who are here illegally avoid crime because they don't want to be deported because it's a harsher penalty.
So, Jason, this teacher's point was that people who are here illegally commit crime at a lesser rate. It's a very strange argument because nobody keeps records, mm-hmm. No local law jurisdiction. The courts don't, the jails don't on immigration status. So he's making this argument. Plus, I don't know anybody who's been deported for robbing a convenience store.
It
just doesn't happen.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it is just a weird argument. On paper, it certainly makes sense in the way that he's presenting it, but there's no actual data to back it up. I do know that there are some surveys out there and studies out there that make the exact same case. But to your point, especially looking just here locally, it's not like you get a record of the citizenship of any of the criminals. In fact, you're not allowed to ask according to the policies that are in place in most law enforcement agencies. But be that as it may, the whole argument coming from this teacher over the course of about 11 minutes almost is trying to get the kid to change his position on whether or not he believes that Donald Trump is a hero because of this one particular aspect of the administration, a policy that he supports. It was just very odd for this entire segment of this 10-minute remote learning call.
The teacher, Connor Seaman, he told the kid, or he asked the kid, why the kid believes the president's a hero.
Why is it heroic to make a wall to keep out immigrants?
Well, it's kind of it's illegal to do that. So he's basically making the law better and
It's illegal to jaywalk also.
Yeah. But he's working on important things, more important things, I meant. For example, if some immigrants come without a passport and hop the fence and stuff, which is totally illegal.
Right, but why is that important though? So for example, let's say, because jaywalking is illegal, let's say I were to do a task force that cost billions of dollars to stop jaywalking once and for all type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you see the kind of point I'm trying to get at right here?
No, not really.
I don't either.
I love this kid. The entire time that this is happening, he moves his cell phone to take selfies of him doing eye rolls. It's so beautiful. And what's just maddening about this, because you and I have had this conversation before, I take a position that I believe you share. Teachers should not be teaching kids what to think. They should be teaching kids how to think. I would have the exact same concern if this teacher was talking about how abortion is murder to a 13-year-old kid. It is not appropriate to have in the classroom. And what bothers me the most is after I go back with this school district spokesperson trying to find out their take, the spokesperson, Amy Gordon, sent me a note. The comment that the teacher tried to convince the student he was wrong for supporting President Trump's immigration policy is not accurate. The student and teacher spoke about immigration policy in the context of providing evidence for why Trump is a hero. The teacher's intent was to encourage the student to use more than one source for his assignment. It very clearly goes further than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the teacher He first he was comparing it to jaywalking in that last cut, and now here he says illegal immigration should not be a priority in our country.
So, like, it gets back to the question: how much of a benefit is it to a society to stop illegal immigration in higher degrees like that when there's other crimes out there? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess.
It's almost like, let's say you got a police officer and they see that there's someone who's jaywalking and there's someone who's robbing a convenience store. Who are they going to stop? What would you hope they would want to stop?
The robber.
Right.
Okay, again, this makes zero sense. We have different law enforcement jurisdictions that are charged with enforcing both of these sets of laws. And to use the teacher's logic, we shouldn't prosecute any crimes short of rape and murder, because rape and murder are the worst, and the others just shouldn't be a priority.
I mean, in fairness, that's also apparently the position of Lisa Herbold, the Seattle City Councilwoman. So, I mean, there is that out there. But yes. You're absolutely correct. It is an argument that doesn't really make sense. And when you're not intending to make sense but simply propagandize a student, I imagine this is what it might look like. And I tried to give the teacher as much of a benefit of the doubt as possible. But as this conference went on and on and on, it just seemed so obvious to me what was happening and why both the student took notice and the parents took notice.
Well, and I'll just play one more. But another thing, should it bother me so much that teachers use the word like as often as the kids do?
Like, I don't know, like, what, like, that is a, like, an indication of, like, an inability, like, to complete a co, like, here in thought. I don't understand.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. So here, since the kid said the president was his hero, here's why the teacher told him that's not a good thing.
So if you're going to introduce bullet points, you kind of sort of have to back up with why that's heroic. Because there's a lot of people who would argue that it's not heroic, and it's actually a lot of the rhetoric that has been said has been very racist.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, wait, what's racist again?
So rhetoric, basically things that Donald Trump has said.
What has he said that's racist? Just wondering.
When he said that Mexico was sending their murderers over. One, it's wrong because Mexico's not doing that. They want to keep their citizens. And two, it's labeling Mexican immigrants as murderers.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty racial language.
And Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's a gross mischaracterization of what the president said.
He brings up, a lot of people would argue what he just said.
Right.
He is correct. A lot of people also apparently includes Connor Seaman over at the school. Because it comes off again as he is trying to convince the student that his position on immigration is wrong, the student's position is wrong, and his as the teacher's is right. There are so many ways to approach this in a different way, and it starts off really, really well because the teacher makes a really good point. You shouldn't be going to the White House as your only source to talk about why you think the president is a hero. That is a totally valid position to take, the same way you don't go to Joe Biden's website for the same thing. But it just veers off course so quickly, and parents need to be aware that this is happening, particularly now in this district where you're going back to remote learning.
Yeah, Kopachuk Middle School in Gig Harbor is where this happened, in Connor Seaman's language arts class. Jason, as always, great work. I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Absolutely, David Bose. Appreciate it.
See you later.
I'm Dory. So I'm sorry. Thanks.
Close enough. Jason Rance, you can hear him every afternoon, 3 to 6, 770 KTTH. I'd love to know what you think about this. Parents, Operation Take Back Our Schools. If you or your kid has something like this where teachers are being crazily biased, get us the video. We'll publicize it. We must stop this. You can text me at 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. As As we speak, the president is talking right now in Lansing, Michigan. He's trying to just out-hustle Joe Biden, who's not doing much campaigning. This final week, the president has three rallies scheduled today. Regardless of what happens a week from today, Election Day, President Trump's made quite the mark. Last night, Amy Coney Barrett got confirmed to the United States Supreme Court. So President Trump has gotten three justices on the court. He's the first president since Ronald Reagan to get three justices confirmed. And they're young. They're going to change the face of the court for decades to come. A lot of people are upset because many have come to call Amy Coney Barrett ACB. And the fans of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is known as RBG, say that sounds too similar. But the president says that Amy Coney Barrett is a fitting replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Can I speak to everyone when I say that the Barrett family has captured America's heart? It is highly fitting that Justice Barrett fills the seat of a true pioneer for women. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Okay, so the president paid tribute to ACB's predecessor on the court. Chuck Schumer, on the Democratic side of the Senate, it was straight along party lines. I think one Republican defected. So it was 52-48 to confirm ACB. And Chuck Schumer, he was not really happy about this.
My deepest, greatest, and most abiding sadness tonight is for the American people and what this nomination will mean for their lives, their freedoms, their fundamental rights. Monday, October 26th, 2020, it will go down as one of the darkest days in the 231-year history of the United States Senate.
Well, that's a little dramatic there. So the president nominated somebody who everybody says is as capable, as smart, and she says that she will follow the Constitution. She is a constitutionalist lawyer. And how that can take away rights. The Constitution is what guarantees our rights, for crying out loud. Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then I got a lot to say. In the Fastest 15, it's coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.